It went through her shield like a flaming pitch through paper. It shouldn't have been able to do that. Her shield was air. Air should not have been able to break a shield of air, not a shield as strong as she had made. But this was air made not by a mere sister, but one with the gift. A wizard's gift. Confused, Margaret realized she was lying on the ground, looking up at the stars. Pretty stars. The Creator's stars. She couldn't draw a breath. Simply couldn't. She thought it odd. She didn't remember the air hitting her, only her breath being ripped violently from her lungs. She felt cold, but there was something warm against her face, warm and wet. It was a comfort. Her legs didn't seem to work. Try as she might, she couldn't make them move. With the greatest of effort, she managed to lift her head a bit. The sisters hadn't moved, but now, somehow, they were farther away. They all watched her. Margaret looked down at herself. Something was terribly wrong. Below her ribs, there was mostly nothing there. Just the shredded, wet remains of her insides. And then nothing. Where the rest of her should have been, there was nothing. Where had her legs gone? They must be somewhere. They had to be somewhere. There they were. They lay a little distance away, where she had been standing. So, that was why she couldn't take a breath. Air shouldn't have been able to do that. It was impossible. At least, air wielded by a sister shouldn't have been able to do that. It was a wonder.
Dear Creator, why have you not helped me? I was doing your work. Why have you let this be done?
It should hurt, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it hurt to be ripped in half? But it didn't. It didn't hurt the least little bit. Cold. She felt only cold. But the warm rope of her guts lying against her face felt good. Warm. She took comfort in the warmth. Maybe it didn't hurt because the Creator was helping her. That must be it. The Creator had taken her pain.
Dear Creator, thank you. I did my best. I am sorry I failed you. Send another.
Boots were near. Jedediah. Husband Jedediah. Monster Jedediah. I tried to warn you, Margaret. I tried to keep you away. You can't say I didn't try. Her arms lay sprawled out to her sides. In her right hand she could feel the little gold flower. She hadn't let go of it. Even as she was torn in half, she never let go. She tried to now, but she couldn't make her hand open. She wished she had the strength to open her hand. She didn't want to die with that in her hand, but she just couldn't open her fingers.
Dear Creator, I have failed in this, too.
Since she couldn't release it, she did the only other thing she could think of. She sent the rest of her power into it. Maybe someone would see and ask the right question.
Tired. She was so very tired.
She tried to close her eyes, but they wouldn't close.
How could a person die if they couldn't close their eyes?
There were a lot of stars. Pretty stars. There seemed to be fewer than she remembered. Hardly any at all. She thought her mother had told her once how many there were, but she couldn't remember.
Well, she would just have to count them.
One.
Two.
Chapter 21. How long? Chase asked. The seven fierce-looking men that were squatted down in a half-circle before her and Chase just stared at him and blinked. None of the seven had any weapons except belt knives, and one didn't even have that. But there were a lot of other men standing behind them, and they all had bows or spears or both. Rachel tugged her thick, brown woolen cloak tighter around herself and shifted her weight as she squatted, wiggling her toes, wishing her feet weren't so cold. They were starting to tingle. She stroked her fingers over the big amber stone hanging on the chain from her neck. Its smooth, teardrop shape felt warm against her fingers. Chase mumbled something Rachel couldn't understand as he pushed his heavy black cloak back over his shoulders and then pointed with a stick at the two people drawn in the dirt. All the leather belts for his weapons creaked as he leaned forward on boots big enough for any of the other men to fit both of their feet into just one. He tapped his stick on the ground again, then turned and pushed his hand out toward the grassland.
How long?
He pointed at the drawing and pushed his hand out a few more times. How long since they left? They chattered something Chase and she couldn't understand, and then the man with long, silver hair falling down around his sun-brown face, the one who didn't have a coyote hide around his shoulders but wore only simple buckskin clothes, drew another picture in the dirt. She could tell what it was easy this time. It was the sun. He made marks under it. Chase watched as the man drew three rows of marks under the picture of the sun. He stopped. Chase stared at the picture. 3 weeks. He looked up at the man with the long hair. 3 weeks? He pointed at the sun on the ground and held up most of his fingers three times. They've been gone 3 weeks? The man nodded and made some more of those funny words. Sidon handed her another piece of flatbread with honey. It tasted wonderful. She tried to eat it slowly, but it was gone before she knew it. She had tasted honey only once before, back at the castle when she lived there as the princess's playmate. The princess never let her have honey, said it wasn't for the likes of her, but one of the cooks had given her some once. Her stomach fluttered at the memory of how mean the princess had been to her. She never wanted to live in a castle again. Now that she was Chase's daughter, she would never have to. Every night she lay in her blankets before she went to sleep and wondered what the rest of her new family was like. Chase said she would have sisters and brothers and a real mother. He said she would have to mind her new mother. She could do that. It was easy to mind when someone loved you. Chase loved her. He never really said it, but it was easy to tell. He put his huge arm around her and stroked her hair when she was afraid of sounds in the dark. Sidon smiled at her as he licked the honey off his fingers. It was nice to see him again. When they had first come here, she thought there was going to be trouble. Scary men, all painted with mud and with grass stuck all over themselves, came up to them when they were still out on the grassland. She didn't even see where they came from. They were just there all of a sudden. Rachel was afraid at first, because the men pointed arrows at them, and their voices sounded scary, and she couldn't understand what they said. But Chase just got off the horse and held her in his arms while he watched them. He didn't even draw his sword or anything. She didn't think anything scared him. He was the bravest man she ever saw. The men had looked at her as she stared at them, and Chase stroked her hair and told her not to be afraid. The men stopped pointing the arrows at them and led them to the village. When they got there, she saw Sidon. Sidon knew her and Chase from before, when Kaelin had saved him from Queen Melina back in the castle. Zed, Kaelin, Chase, Sidon, and she had all been together when they were running with the box. She couldn't speak Sidon's language, but he knew them and told his father who they were. After that, everyone was real nice to them. Chase pointed with one finger to one of the pictures of a person, the finger of his other hand to the other picture, and then held the fingers together and pointed away, moving his hands like they were going over hills. Richard and Kaelin left 3 weeks ago and they went north to Aidendrill. The men all shook their heads and started jabbering again. Sidon's father held up his hand for quiet. He pointed at himself and the other men and held up three fingers. Then he pointed at the picture on the ground that had a dress and said Kaelin's name, and then he pointed north. Chase pointed at the picture of the sun, then the picture of Kaelin, then at the men, holding up three fingers, then north. 3 weeks ago, Kaelin and three of your men went north to Aidendrill? The men all nodded and said, Kaelin and Aidendrill. Chase put a knee to the ground as he leaned forward, tapping the picture of the other person. But Richard went too. He pointed north again. Richard went to Aidendrill too, with Kaelin. The men all turned to the man with the long silver hair. He looked at Chase and then shook his head. The carved piece of bone hanging from a leather thong around his neck swung back and forth. He pointed down at the picture of the man with a sword and then pointed in a different direction. Chase stared at the man for a long minute. Then he frowned, as if he didn't understand. The man leaned over with the stick and drew three more people, each with a dress. He looked up from under his eyebrows as if he wanted to make sure Chase was watching, and then he drew an X across two of the figures. His eyes returned to Chase again as he folded his arms over his knees, waiting. What does that mean? Dead? Is that what you mean, they are dead? The men stared, not moving. Chase pulled a single finger, like a knife, across his throat. Dead? The man with the silver hair gave one nod and said, Dead. But it sounded a little funny, the way he made the word seem longer than it should. He pointed with his stick to the picture of the sun, then the picture of Kaelin, and then he pointed over his shoulder to the way they went. He pointed to the sun again, then at the picture of Richard, then at the picture of the woman without the X, then he pointed in a different direction. Chase stood. His chest rose and then fell as he let out the deep breath. He was awfully tall. He stared in the direction the man with the silver hair said Richard had gone. East. That's deeper into the wilds, he whispered to himself. Why isn't he with Kaelin? He rubbed his chin. Rachel thought he looked worried. It couldn't be that he looked scared. Nothing scared Chase. Dear spirit, why would Richard go deeper into the wilds? What could possess Kaelin to let that boy go into the wilds? And who is he with? The men all glanced at each other as if they were wondering why Chase was talking to the air. Chase squatted back down, all his leather creaking, and pointed at the drawing of the third woman and frowned and shrugged at the men. He pointed at the picture of Richard and the woman and pointed east again. He held the palms of his hands up near his shoulders as he shrugged and made faces to show he didn't understand. The man with the long, silver hair gave Chase a sad look as he let out a long breath. He pointed at the third woman, the one without an X, and then he turned and took a rope from a man behind him. He wrapped the rope around his own neck. He looked to Chase's frown, and then he pointed to the picture of Richard. When Chase looked up and their eyes met, the man pulled the rope tight with a snap. He pointed east. He touched the stick to the picture of Kaelin, and then pulled his fingers down his cheeks from the corners of his eye like tears, then pointed north. Chase stood. It was almost a jump. His face was pale. She took him, he whispered. This woman captured Richard and took him into the wilds.